Our scripture reading for tonight will be Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 21. And someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter over you?" And he said to them, "Beware and be on your guard against every form of greed, for not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions." And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a certain rich man was very productive. And he began reasoning to himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no place to store my crops?' And he said, 'This is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your soul is required of you. And now who will own what you have prepared? So is the man who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God.'"
Within the last couple of years, I've had the opportunity to have classes with individuals, those who aren't in Christ and those who are in Christ, but also, you know, being able to share the gospel with many people. Just recently, I had a class with a young man, and one of the questions that he asked was, "What's going to happen, you know, when I die?" And so in that question, I sat down with them and I said, "Well, you know, we've been talking about a lot of real good things, but you know, you need to sit down and start reading your Bible more." And you know, a lot of times it's real hard to get someone to, you know, read their word, and we have so many studies here. A lot of times it's even hard to keep up with the studies that we have here. But even that, as we continually study, you things come to memory, and you're constantly remembering over and over again, and it's a blessing. And Chris was looking at, we were looking at Luke chapter 12, and we just basically ran over just this one area. And it just so happened that this particular verse came up. And in this verse, now thank you, Chris, for reading Luke chapter 12, and basically speaking about a man, a rich man, and dealing with covetousness. And as Chris read, you know, in verse 15 of Luke chapter 12, we see it says in verse 15, "Beware," and I'm reading in the New American Standard here, it says, "And he said unto them, beware and be on guard against every form of greed, for not even which one is abundance does his life consist of his possessions. And he told a parable, saying, 'The land of a rich man was very productive. And he began reasoning with him, saying, What shall I do, since I have no place to store my crops? And when he said, This is what I will do, I will tear down my barns and I will build up larger ones, and there I will store all of my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, have many goods and lay up many years, and come and take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.'" You know, when you look at that, we look at how our society is and how men are and how people are today. "But God said unto him, You fool, this very night your soul is required of you. And now, who will own what you have prepared?" At any time, at any moment, our souls may be lifted and taken away. But as you look at it, when do you know that your soul will be required? No one knows. No one knows the time. No one knows the day of their departure. And as we see here, his soul, our soul, may be required, and we see that his soul is going to be required. But as we look at this, we need to know what our soul is, and here I looked up online, and it says, a principle of life, a feeling, a thought, an action in humans, regarded to as a distant entity and separate from the body, and commonly held to be separate or in existence from the body, a spiritual part of the humans, and a distance from a physical part. Well, okay, we can go through and we can read all of this and we can say, yeah, all of this makes sense. If any of you have went through and have been involved in any of the arts such as Kung Fu or any of the foreign arts, you know that there are other things that are involved there, you know, and you look at the yin and the yang, you know, and they look at spiritual things which are different than what we see. But then there are also other things. There are also different human things that people look at, which they say that it's a part of the soul. But in the very beginning, when God created man, we see in Genesis chapter 2, in verse 7, we see that the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And so as we look at as what Paul told Timothy, and we see in those scriptures, we see that the inspiration of God means God breathed. It means that God breathed life into this living soul. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 9, it says, and as we see how Adam and Eve were in the garden, and we see how Satan had beguiled man and woman. I'll just say man and woman. We see that he passed down something to man and woman. And as he passed it down to man and woman, we know that woman, she received her, I don't want to say condemnation, but we know that the seed of woman is going to bruise the heel of Satan. But we also know that man, that he says in verse 19, he says that man is going to work to the sweat of his brow. But we also see it says, and the sweat of thy face shall thy eat bread until thy return into the ground. And out whence they should be taken from the dust thou art, and unto the dust thou shalt return. So we need to understand that God created man from the dust of the earth. And as he created man from the dust of the earth, what did he do? He breathed the breath of life. And then man became a living soul. But as we see that, we also see that the preacher in Ecclesiastes makes this statement. In chapter 3, verse 20, he says, and all goes into one place. All who? Everything goes into one place. And what place do they go to? Everything goes to the dust of the earth. Everything goes back. Once it's living, it doesn't matter what it is or how it may be. Me as a metallurgist, I know one thing. All of these metals and all these properties, plastic, wood, and all that which we see, it goes back to the dust of the earth, regardless of what man may say. All the chemicals and all the things that we produce, it goes back to the earth. But then we see it, as he says, all are of the dust and will return to the dust again. But we see, as the writer continually says, the preacher says in chapter 12, verse 7, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God, who gave it. God gave man life. God gave man life, and he made man in his own image. And if he made man in his own image, we're the only ones who actually can think. We're the only ones who God has given this wonderful thing, that we can make decisions and we can decide on the things that we need to do in life. As we see, in the beginning, the Lord formed man from the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And in this process, the process of time, we know that he's going to have to return back to the dust of the earth. And as that happens, then we see that the Spirit returns back to God, who gave life. But there's more than that. We always know that there's going to be a funeral, there's going to be a procession, no matter what, in life. And we see that Paul writes this, and he tells us that we need to encourage one another as time goes by. We don't know when that time is going to happen, but he writes this, and he says, "Behold, I show you a mystery, that we shall all not sleep, but we shall be changed." And I want to stop there, because the reason why I want to stop there is because on the day that Jesus ascended and sat on the right hand of God, we know that in Acts chapter 1, that Jesus told the disciples, actually at that time there was 11, and as Jesus told them to go to Jerusalem and that they would receive the power in which they needed to receive in order for the church to even begin, he told them to go to Jerusalem. And as they go to Jerusalem, that they would receive the gift that the Father has to give them. And as that happened, we see that they see Jesus ascend. And as Jesus ascends into the heavens, there are two men who are standing on the side. And as they see him, standing, the 11 see Jesus ascending in the heavens, they say, "Why are you gazing into the sky? This same Jesus that you see ascending, you will see him come back." But as he ascended and he sat on the right hand of God. And now, he has all power and all authority in heaven and on earth. But we're not going to see him come back and walk upon this earth. What we see is here, as it's saying, "But we shall be changed." And we'll see this in Thessalonians, what's going to happen. But here it says, in verse 52, it says, "In the moment in the twinkling of an eye, the last trumpet, and the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall rise incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Who's going to be changed? We who are in Christ will be changed. We'll have a new body. I don't know what that body is going to look like, neither do you. But I know that we'll be changed from corruptible to incorruptible. Verse 53 says, "And this corruptible must put on incorruptible, and this mortal will put on immortality. So when the corruptible shall have put on incorruption, then this mortal shall have put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass, saying that that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? And the sting of death is sin, but the strength of sin is law." The soul is going to live forever. Regardless of what people may think, our soul is going to live forever. In John chapter 14, verses 1 through 7, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, then believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, then I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. For I go to prepare a place for you, and I will go and I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Now here Jesus is speaking to the apostles, and he's telling them not to be troubled. Why? Because he's going to prepare a place. What is he going to prepare a place for? He's going to prepare a place, and that place is going to be so wonderful. Because why? Because there's not going to be any suffering there. There's not going to be any pain. I know many of us have gone through things of life, and we've suffered. What have we suffered with? We suffered with heart attacks. What have we suffered with? We suffered with things that our bodies are decaying with. And we're not going to be going through that anymore. But not only is it a promise that he was promising to the apostles, but we have a heavenly kingdom to look forward to. But we have to prepare ourselves. And in the preparation, we're preparing ourselves for the kingdom of heaven. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul makes this very clear. He says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you received, and wherein you stand, by which also you have been saved, if you keep in memory which I preached unto you, unless you believe in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures." And as he continues, he says, "But also that he saw Cephas," which is Peter, "but not also Peter, but also he saw others." And as he continued, we need to understand that the gospel is something, is the thing that we need to know, because it is the forgiveness of sins. It is the seed promise in which we receive. And as Peter mentions in Acts chapter 2, as the Jews ask the questions, "What shall we say then?" And Peter says, "To repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of sins, then you shall receive" what? "You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for this promise is unto you and unto your children, and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord thy God shall call." And as he continues there, it doesn't stop there, because we all need to continue to be faithful. Faithful where? Faithful in our lives. Faithful as being disciples of Christ. But I'm missing something here. What I'm missing is this. And I'm not going to go to the scriptures on that, because I just want to just paraphrase a little bit. Because there is a scripture that we went over dealing with the rich man and Lazarus. And as we look at that, we see that the rich man dies. And as the rich man dies, he goes to a place of torment. And as he goes to the place of torment, then what he sees Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. And Lazarus is being comforted. And as Lazarus is being comforted, we know that the rich man is waiting, just like the poor man is waiting. But the rich man is waiting for judgment. And as he's waiting for judgment, the scripture says, "Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess." Yes, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. But on that day, those who are asleep, 1 Thessalonians tells us, those who are asleep in Christ will not prevent those who are alive in Christ to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Now, I just wanted to be in front of you just for a short time. In order to obey the gospel, we need to hear But in order to hear, we who are in Christ need to be able to teach so that you may be able to learn. Now, from my understanding, there are many people who have been in the Lord's church for many years. But it's sad to say that many have just been in the church. But they haven't been obedient. Believing is just not believing in Jesus. You need to devote your life. But not only your life, but you need to understand that there are more than 8 different conversions in the book of Acts that shows us how we need to follow. And I'm not going to say steps, but I will say that the road is not like many say. But we need to repent. We need to renew our minds, change our minds, so that we may be obedient to the Word of God. Because it is the Word of God that saves us. But we also need to confess that we really never knew and we really never obedient to that Word. What are we confessing? That Jesus Christ is Lord. What else are we confessing? We're confessing that we need to make that change. What change do we need to make? You know, I'm not going to say privy. I was really appalled because I know of a few people who say that they were in Christ, but then all of a sudden, I don't see them anymore, but I see them somewhere else. And then when I ask them, well, what's going on? Well, I couldn't be there because of what? Well, never explaining. Never opened up God's Word. But just, well, I'm going over here. Why? Because I'm okay over here. Okay over there. Yeah, I'm okay. Why? Because they're not being convicted of the Word of God. And that's really sad. We must be baptized for the right reason. What are you baptized for? For the forgiveness of sins. And I've even seen it where people, well, Brother Bruce, I need to be baptized. Well, what do you need to be baptized for? Well, I need to be baptized. And then come find out that they're being baptized somewhere else. Well, I'm saved. Well, wait a minute. When did you get saved? Well, I was saved several months ago, but I just got baptized. Well, why did you get baptized? Well, I'm a member of this church now. It's really sad. It's really sad. But anyway, that's my lesson. That's my short invitation. If you have been obedient to Christ and you need the prayers from the brethren, if you're sick or if there's anything that you want to correct in your life, or if there's a dedication, you want to change some things, you want to, as I've heard, if you want to just be more involved in Bible studies or things like that, if you want to recommit the things that you need to commit in life, come forward and let the brethren pray for you as we begin to sing the song of invitation.